on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Well, that's not what you wanted. Good afternoon. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. I'm Mark Carmen. The Bears lose to the Broncos, 17-15. That one, guys, let's just start right at it. 312-981-7200. This game.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Before we go any further.
Okay, OB.
That NFL refereeing crew that you saw out there today.
Yeah.
Should be barred from ever approaching an NFL football game again.
And they were on the Bears' side, OB.
Well, they were just poor across the board.
Unbelievable, the calls that were made in this game. These are supposedly educated, well-taught people to referee a 60-minute football game. They're a bunch of morons.
Aren't you bearing the lead, though, and the bunch of morons and just pointing it at the Bears' play calling down the stretch here?
Okay, guys.
This okay, is good. This program is going to be those calls went for
the Bears.
This is going to be locked. I understand that. This is going to be lock and load, folks.
All right. Once again, another loss, another Bear loss, laid at the feet of a clueless John Fox. All right, guys. Let me just say this: a total mismanagement of that fourth quarter scoring opportunities. Come on.
Oh my God.
You can say what you want, but we're going to get down into the play calling nitty gritty. But when you have the ball and it's fourth and goal from the 4-yard line and you're playing against the number one defense, and I don't give a rat's, it's a number one defense in the game of football. Are they the Steelers? Are they the 46 Bears? No, but they're the number one defense, number one against the run. There's a lot of, you know, things that you have to take in consideration here, but to not kick a field goal and take the points when you are down 8. With lots of time left.
11 to go.
It's inexcusable. It's just like the mismanagement of the Viking game. Just like the clueless bungling of the Detroit Lion game. This is not Adam Gase. This is John Fox. His signature as head coach has to take the blame. You kick the field goal and all that nonsense at the end of the game is pointless. We won the game. Now, we can get into the rest of it, OB, but I'm telling you, you're playing the number one defense in the game of football without your number one weapon in the backfield, Matt Forte, your number one receiver, Alshon Jeffrey. Neither one played. So what makes you think that all of a sudden you're going to bow up like Superman and score? You take the damn points, and you know what? This is at John Fox's feet.
Yeah, but here's the other part of it, too. It's second down at the 4-yard line, and Ed, you and I and Mark Carmen were sitting there. And if you already know in your head, because you should predetermine this is 4-down territory, we're going to score, then run the ball a couple of times, or run the ball at least once in the next 3 downs to see if you could get some plus yards. And literally, in 3 downs, you could have ran it 4 yards and probably scored there.
You know, Glenn, again, year after year after year after year, you're at home. It's an important game. You've got 60, 70,000 people screaming for you. They love you, the greatest fans in the world. And you come at home, again, at home. I'm not talking about playing a juggernaut team. We're talking about the Denver Broncos with a quarterback. This was his first start in the NFL. And you don't go after him?
It's inexcusable.
It's absolutely, it's asinine.
Okay, now we can beat up the coordinators, but I'm telling you this. John Fox is the one that has to take control of this bus as it's careening off the damn road and say, we're kicking the field goal. And all this becomes moot. It's a celebration because we win the game. But you know what? You're exactly right. You blitz the clowns, the jokers, the guys that don't know what's going on.
How do you not do that,
Dan? And then you back off of the good ones. We backed off of this guy like he was John Elway.
This is a guy they should have been in his face from the first down all the way to the end of this game. And another thing, how is it Denver, number one defense, where are they, Mark, where they rank 29th in stopping the run. Or, I mean, excuse me, offensively.
29th rushing the football, OB.
29th out of 32 teams running the football.
70 yards against us.
Guess how many yards they ran it down our throat? 170 yards. And there were no adjustments made. None. No adjustments made. Folks, I'm telling you, this is, you know, you sit there, I almost lost my mind watching this game. This is incredible. We could have beat this team. And there's basic things that you should do. You got Kyle Fuller. They're going in on, what was it, about the 10-yard line?
11-yard line, to be exact.
Denver's going in, and he is playing approximately between 8 to 10 yards deep. They're on the 10-yard going in. End zone, obviously, 10 yards.
And this is a game winner you're talking about,
then,
right?
And the play I'm talking about was that killed us. He shades the guy to the outside 8 yards deep. He should have been up 4 more yards, shading the inside away. What does Osweiler see? Bang. Quick slant right inside. Touchdown, game, set, match, over. Let me say that one more time. Kyle Fuller, he's been here for a while. He's lined up, head up, or shades the outside. He's about 10 yards back. He should have been up, taking away the inside. That play never should have happened, folks. Period.
312-981-7200 if you want to get in. 312-981-7200. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Start of the show sponsored by Geno'sEast.com. Outstanding food as always. Today the pizza phenomenal. Also sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. Is this game at the foot of John Fox? I think it's hard to argue against that. But let's
start. His coordinators too. It's a combination. But Dan's right. The head coach has to make the call.
Pin it right on Fox's
head. Coach has to say, kick the field goal, win the game.
Kick the field goal, you take the points, and you know what? This is we're all laughing about it now.
312-981-7200. We will get into your calls and, of course, tons of reaction. We'll hear from John Fox coming up at the 4 o'clock hour as well. Love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Bears lose to the Broncos 17-15. We haven't even gotten to the two-point conversion yet, which we can do coming back here.
I got to tell you, before we go, I got to tell you, people getting in your cars that are in your cars now and you're listening, I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot to talk about. I mean, common sense went right out the window with this game. I don't know what, and like Dan mentioned, John Fox, what the hell he was thinking about and his staff. I mean, it's right in front of you defensively and offensively, and we're doing the wrong thing. It's right – you see it, folks.
And then the dumb look on his face after they didn't convert the run play in the two-point play. I mean, he had the dumbest look, and I'm like, well, duh.
You don't have to say so. Maybe the listeners in their cars at home, maybe they saw some more dumbness than we saw.
Well,
call in, folks.
Bottom line is that you don't always have to prove yourself to be the smartest guy in the room. Sometimes doing the basic thing, that's the best thing.
Fundamentals always win.
Weather in the first 5 minutes. Watch Chicago's first weather report at 10 p.m. with Tom Skilling. That's weeknight on WGN-TV News at 10. 312-981-7200. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. With you till 6 o'clock on 720 WGN.
That'll do it. The Denver Broncos hold on. Brock Osweiler stepping in for the injured Peyton Manning on his 25th birthday gets the win for Denver. 17-15 the final.
Quite a day for Brock Osweiler, 20 of 27, 250 yards, couple of touchdowns, quarterback rating of 127.1. Not bad for your first start.
Not bad. Anything over 90 is outstanding. You go over 100, that's great. 127 is almost perfect. What is it, 154 is perfect?
Yeah, and listen, I was just kidding. The guy was phenomenal, and Dad showed good composure, too. Mueller Dealership's game-changing moment that's brought to you by the Mueller family of dealerships in Highland Park, Gurnee, Hoffman Estates, and Merrillville. Game-changing moment. Many game-changing moments down the stretch.
You
Obi, you take this one.
All right. It's what I said earlier. You know, and it was probably the biggest one of the game when, again, Denver's going in.
They were on the 11-yard
mark,
line.
On the 10-yard line, right? And he's playing back on almost our goal line.
Kyle Fuller.
I'm talking about Kyle Fuller, exactly. You don't play football like that, folks. You get up into that 4 yards, maybe five you want to give him, but you shade the inside. If he makes a break for a corner route or an out route, you're there to run with him. You take away his inside, whether it's a skinny post or a slant, whatever it is, you're there. He's playing almost 10 yards deep. You think Osweiler didn't see that or somebody? They might even audibled into it. You got to be salivating when you see somebody playing like that. And bang, right in on a slant, touchdown, 7 points. That was the difference in the game because of a stupid play by Fuller.
And just lining up in with poor technique, because
he's beat
because
that's the point.
Anytime you could get your body between the defender and the football as a receiver, you've won that play. And so Kyle Fuller, and we're talking about the outside receiver. It wasn't like the slot guy. This is the outside guy. So there's 5 yards to the sideline. You shade him inside because the sideline becomes an extra defender, and it's a short window to throw to the outside. That's why you have to stay inside. Poor technique.
Yeah, right, Glenn. I'll tell you this. One other thing. You cannot make me believe that Kyle Fuller's, he's been here. You cannot make me believe that this defensive coaching staff did not tell him how to make that play, how to play that play.
I was going
to
ask that question.
A brain lock or whatever, but you never play, never when somebody's going in on you, do you ever play 7, 8 to 10 yards off them. How you played is inside, and that's it, period. Hamp, there's nothing else.
You agree with that, Hamp?
It goes without being said. That's why I used to take a pencil and stab myself in the eyes watching Lovie Smith's stupid defense where the corners would basically give away the inside.
Give up the
inside.
You
know, the slant.
Always.
Away the inside, you morons. God almighty.
312-981-7200. Thank you for that. I very much
Okay, this Osweiler. Yeah. Okay, is he a pretty good player? Okay, guess what? You can throw that stupid pass, take away the inside, and then you have to find out who can throw the out.
That 5-yard window, the 6-yard window on the outside in that tight quarter is almost, I mean, that's a big league quarterback. But a slant, anybody could throw a slant
guaranteed
to the
inside.
So
that without a doubt was the Mike Mueller dealer. That was the game changer of the game. That play right there should not have happened.
Let's get some calls in here. 312-981-7200. We'll tackle the 2-point conversion attempt run head scratcher in a moment. Mike, Chicago Heights, you're on 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, I feel your pain too. Obviously, I agree with you on the play calling. Ridiculous. I hit a point. I want to make a point. When the Bears held Denver deep in their end zone, or deep in their zone, they had to punt the ball. They got the ball at the 50-yard line, I think it was.
49.
And, 49. And then all of a sudden, boom, gave it up. 2 minutes to go, boom, 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 kick a field goal. How they can let that happen, I don't know. I mean, it's ridiculous, and the rest of the play calls were ridiculous also. Guys, have a good night, and let's hope to God next week.
Hey, Mike, you know, the tough part, too, on this, and thanks for calling, Mike, is that you had a chance. The Bears really had a chance to pull themselves legitimately into the playoff race by going to 5-5. You want to, you haven't been home in a while, and you have a chance to reestablish yourself, and you absolutely just vomit all over yourself on your home field. It's horrible loss.
And here's the thing, folks. You know, all year long, starting 0-3 because of the fact that, hey, guess what? We scheduled, the schedule is what it is, and we had to play three tough teams with a first year coaching staff, blah, blah, blah. To be able to fight your way back to 5-5, to be in a game like today, a game of consequence at this point in the season, is what you live for. And then to squander it as a head coach and not take the points in the fourth quarter against the number one ranked defense in all the world is inexcusable.
And it's 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. You're now down 4. And by the way, we're laughing. There is no 2-point play because the Bears win by 3.
Well, and let me tell you
one other thing that was really depressing. Again, and it shows exactly where we're at in the front. Basically, games are won up front, offense and defensive lines. Okay? If you watch that game today, folks, any of you taped it or whatever, look at the defensive line. Now, Denver's offensive line, they have injuries. They have a couple of two or three replacement players playing in there too. They pushed our guys all over the field for four quarters. Why? They ran for 170 yards, and they're the 29th ranked running team in the National Football League, and they ate our defensive front up. Pushed them all over the place.
You're absolutely right, and I got to tell you, I can't watch Shea McClellan line up ever again. I mean, I'm watching this bum get knocked around. He plays with the physicality of Richard Simmons, for God's sakes. Watch him. Go home and watch him. I can't do it no more. Now, I've never seen this before. We started the show talking about the officials. Hey, folks, we didn't have one penalty called on us today. I want to send them a gold medal. But you know what? We can't win even with the officials helping us.
Hey, yeah,
John Fox beat the officials today.
Yeah, listen, let me tell you something. We're watching there. There were so many penalties by the Bears. I mean, calls on Denver that were non-calls. We were sitting there. I'm laughing. You got to be kidding me.
Well, we felt like this might have been a Chicago election or something, and the way this was going. And look, that as a Bear fan, it was great for us, but we still couldn't finish it. That's the frustration. 312-981-7200. We want to take your call.
Trust is everything. It's golden for your insurance needs. It's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovic, jeffvuk.com, serving our area for 37 years. Nationwide is on your side, jeffvuk.com. One of those calls could have been when Brock Osweiler slid down in the backfield. Personal foul, game's over. Instead, they don't call it. Bears get the football back, and had the opportunity to win it.
That's incredible. You know, somebody's going to try to talk their way out of that one. But it's right there. It's right in front of you. That was unbelievable.
Well, we're coming back here. We'll give you who brought it. So it was some positive today. I think one guy on the defense really deserves to be mentioned. He was fantastic. He's been fantastic all season long. And take your calls. 312.
Who's that?
You want me to give it away? It's the tease. It's a radio tease.
Okay. Well, I'm confused that somebody brought it today. So okay.
I'll give you a tease. Just exactly where would you like that tease?
Right on the kisser.
Hold still for that, too. 312-981-7200. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Hamp and Kaz. Make that happen. OB with Kaz very much. Presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com. Bears lose to the Broncos 17-15. I'm Mark Carmen. 312-981-7200. We will take your calls. We do have to do who brought it, though, today, which is sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. You know what to bring. You want to know who I was talking about, OB, who I wanted to give credit to? And then you guys can do who brought it. The fifth round pick.
He's the guy that brought it today too, with seven solo tackles. Go on.
To me, Adrian Amos has been, he was phenomenal today. He was physical when a lot of the Bears weren't. Guys were getting run over all day long. Amos was holding his ground, and he was deflecting passes, and he had a sack and a tackle for a loss. The guy was solid.
Both you guys are exactly correct. Now here's the other side of that coin. When you have a defensive back, your leading tackler, you got a problem.
And he's
a big problem, folks.
He had seven solo tackles today, which means he had to come up and make a lot of tackles from the safety spot.
Just real quickly, back to our defensive front, our down linemen. Guys, I mean, come on. They got pushed around on their back. They got position blocked. Denver did whatever the hell they wanted to do against them. And that's why when you see Amos, he's the guy. When you have a defensive back again, one or two of your defensive backs that are first and second or third leading defensive tacklers, you got a big problem, folks.
The guy that stepped up on the defensive line today, Bruce Gaston, with the bull rush out of nowhere, he was on the Packers practice squad. He looked better that was a better play than anybody made the defensive line all year.
He may have been the best defensive lineman we had on the field a week ago. I'm telling you, the guy needs to be the starting five technique on the right side. Will Sutton, there's a spot for him on some team in the NFL as a three technique in a pass rush situation, but he's too limited. I'm just saying, we have to get better at every position on defense. Bruce Gaston is an upgrade.
You know what? With this kid Sutton, I tell you, he just, and a few people take just watch him. I mean, they pushed that kid all over the
field.
Oh,
they roll him up.
You know, absolutely.
I feel bad for him, but I mean, it is what it is.
He's a nice kid, whatever have you, but the problem is he's a 6-foot defensive lineman playing in the National Football League in year 2050. Ain't going to happen.
And you got to be able, and you know, if you're 6 foot, you have to have some speed. He doesn't, and that's part of the problem. I mean, you know, look, undersized.
Glenn, how about holding your
quickness?
How about holding your own territory?
Those things, right.
Instead of getting pushed all over the place.
And we don't want, you know, callers, we have so many things we want to say, but we want to get to you now.
312-981-7200. Sean in Batavia has been waiting the longest, so you are on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, a couple comments real quick. Yeah, after moving the ball through the air the entire last drive and to run it up the middle when you haven't been able to do it all day just really gets to me. And the only other comment I could say is that every time the Bears get you excited, they always seem to let you down.
Yeah, they
and
break
that's really
your heart.
All I have to say.
Right,
Sean,
you're right.
Yeah, the killer is.
I'm tired of this.
Sean, and I know exactly what he's talking about, in which we alluded to it earlier. I don't know. It's been so many years. Whenever, again, it's that important game. We're at home. Everybody's, you know, all hands on deck. Everybody, come on. We've got the momentum going. We're back in the hunt and everything. And what do? Sad.
Okay. Let me just make this comment. Jeremy Langford, as good as he has been the last 2 weeks, are we too big a morons not to know that Denver's going to say we are going to take him away? They tried to get him going. They tried relentlessly. 13 attempts, 25 yards. He averaged less than 2 yards a carry. They knew they had to make sure when Langford was in the game to compress the defensive line and stop him. That's exactly what they did on the goal line because we had just run that play that was the inside gut trap for the score. So you don't. They're number one for a lot of reasons. One is they got brains. If they got beat on a play, they're going to make sure they change the technique where they don't give it up again.
And the defensive tackle, made the right play that time.
Came
he
across
the outside
pool,
and then swam and went underneath it.
You know the one positive thing that I saw, and my God, this is going in the back half of the season is Cutler again. His ability in the pocket to stay alive, to move to his left, to his right, to step up in the pocket at the proper time, and to connect on passes, and still give us a chance, even with stupid calls and stupid plays by a lot of people. He's still giving us a chance, folks, to win. I'm going to tell you something. Cutler, if I was the Bears, I never would have gave up half of planet Earth to get him to begin with. And I wouldn't have paid him $126 million when he's done nothing, okay? But I can tell you this year, this is a whole new Cutler. And again, he is the guy that kept us in all four quarters where he still gave us a chance the damn football game.
It's his worst game statistically on the year. I mean, it's the only game that he hasn't thrown a touchdown pass, and he did throw a pick, and it was a bad pick, I mean, flat out.
The guy was covered all day, but he still kept us into the game.
If we kick a field goal on that drive with 11 minutes to go, we're laughing.
Well, and we talked about it when it happened. I said, why aren't they kicking here?
But, guys, let me just make this one point. Part of the reason why the Denver Broncos they're one of the upper echelon teams is they got speed. Demaryius Thomas catches that crosser and runs for a touchdown. We throw it to Marquez Wilson. He gets caught, and we don't score. I mean, little things mean a lot. The speed difference was huge in this game. Their defense was so much faster than our defense.
Appreciate the call from Sean. We see you. 312-981-7200. Let's get Matt all the way down in Florida on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, I finally found you. I was listening to another station. You know, God bless 55. But I'll tell you what, that field goal we're going to go for, me and my buddy in Florida here, we're Bears fans. We knew we'd lose by 2 points. We do it.
Yeah, there was no question that the
Thanks, Matt.
And it didn't make sense because there was so much time left and the Broncos had went for it on fourth down and one, didn't convert it, and the Bears turned it into points. So it's like take your points and let's go. And it wasn't like it was fourth and 6 inches, Dan. It was fourth and four. So you had to go 4 yards to score there.
Okay.
It just defined common sense.
And let me also, and again, what I said was, this is an offense against the number one ranked defense in all of football, an offense without its best two receivers. Say what you will, no Alshon, no Eddie Royal. We don't have our so-called Pro Bowl running back. So when you get in position, boy, you take any points you can get, and you don't squander that opportunity. And you know what? How bad our deficiency at wide receiver is? And you know what? I'm not going to demean those other guys because they're trying. But we started three tight ends today. That's what we – okay, how do we go out and attack the number one ranked defense? Oh, we're going to go big and strong and try to run it. We couldn't do it.
Let me ask you guys a question, because great coaches or even good coaches, they are three steps ahead, a couple steps ahead. When it's second and goal at the four, does
he start running?
I want to know if you guys think he knew that he was going for it if it got to fourth down.
Clearly, he did not, because they didn't have a good call or they didn't set up the fact that, because when you in your own mind, Ed, if you're an offensive coordinator and you know you got three downs to get 4 yards, you're not going to run three pass plays. You're going to pound it a little bit and try to loosen it up to get the play action, you know, on fourth down.
And you know what? You're entirely correct on it. We had talked about this. Again, Slauson moved him back to guard. Folks, this guy's a mountain, and he's a mean man. He's 6'5", and he weighs 320. He's the left guard. Kyle Long, 6'7", 320. Pound it behind them. Just go with straight zone blocking and let them blow them out of there. Dig them out of there.
And just to kind of expand on that a little bit, when you get down into the goal line area in the red zone, 20 yards, now when you're at the four-yard line, all that speed, our receivers aren't fast and quick,
right,
and nifty
right
enough to get away from anybody. So that's where you say, hey, we're not going to get caught with our pants down on fourth down. Let's pound it a little bit.
You know, just to open it up and give you a play-action option out of it. That's
so
all.
Hamp, do you think that he knew he was going for it on fourth down on Saturday?
No, and I think it's by the seat of his pants, Fox thinking he's going to pull a rabbit out of his hat, said, oh, let's go for it. When you and I and everybody else in that room knew, hey, you take the damn points.
Craig,
well, here, let me tell you something. Two things here. We're talking about mistakes. Okay, and I know everything. Yeah, it's hindsight. Well, it's not hindsight with us. I can tell you that. We're watching the game, and I'm flying out of the seat. Hampton's flying out. Glenn's flying out. What are you thinking about? Again, what I just mentioned, when you're down there, zone block, go behind Slauson, go behind Long. My God, if you can't bang it out, then get out of the game. And the other dumb thing, again, going back to Fuller, which was the game-changing moment, how the hell – he is there on the 10-yard line going in, and he's shading to the outside, playing him almost 10 yards deep when he should have been up 4 yards and shading on the inside. That is sheer stupidity. That's what we're talking about. Dumb calls, dumb plays, dumb people.
I was under the table. Craving Geno's East Legendary Deep Dish Pizza, handmade with their famous buttery, flaky crust, loaded with the freshest ingredients, then topped with flavorful sauce. Bring the family to Geno's East with 10 locations in Chicagoland. They're closer than you think. Try the favorites like the meaty legend, the Chicago Fire, or their signature patty-style sausage. If you can't make it to them, Geno's East, of course, will come to you. Order pizza delivery to your home or ship this iconic Windy City pledge nationwide. Am I not reading it to your excitement there, Ed?
Well,
come on, man.
Give a little enthusiasm and Ed won't yawn.
That was unbelievable. All right, for delivery zones and info.
No, it wasn't.
Visit GenosEast.com. The pizza was phenomenal today.
It always is.
It always
is. Each and
is.
Every week.
312-981-7020. Can you do that yawn again?
No, I was actually thinking about what was...
Yeah, no, I know. Believe me, I do the same thing. All right, at 720.
Yeah, you showed a picture of Shea McClellan in Minnesota on the field.
Was that the little squirrel running?
720.
Hey, let me ask you a question. In all players in 3 years of playing, is anybody that stands out in your mind that you dislike?
More than that.
Is there anybody?
Stick around. I'll fill you in on the way back.
720.
And he watches intensely on number 50 because it just drives him nuts that the guy is so bad.
He's like the radio host that you can't stand, but you listen to anyway. Shea McClellan. It's the Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com, 720 WGN. Broncos 17, Bears 15. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. The Bears slipped to 4-6. The Green Bay Packers are up next. That is, of course, Thursday night. We'll be here with a one-hour pregame show, and then we'll be after the game as well until midnight. So when you're driving back, 6:30 to 7:30 pre.
And then as soon as the game's over, we're right on.
We're right on. So when you're coming home from your Thanksgiving, put on 720 WGN.
And Minnesota is up on Green Bay right now, 7-3 in the at the end of the first quarter.
Which, if that holds, which...
Well, it's a lot of football left, but just the fact that they're up. Yeah. I mean, Bears, well, anyway, we don't have to get into it. We already know the Bears blew a great opportunity today.
Defensive star of the game brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Don't all race at once to find the defensive star of the game.
Before we run to the callers, I'd just like to say hi to an old dear friend of mine, Tony Fioravanti, who was our quarterback at Proviso when we, I believe, tied for the Suburban League and the state championship. Although it was mythical at the time. And Tony's having a bit of a rough time, but he's a fighter. He's a smart guy. But I can tell you this, he's the smartest quarterback that I ever played with. And that includes high school, college, and football. Tony, we love you. Hang tough, babe.
We want to give Tony the defensive star of the game, too. I mean,
he might as well.
Well, I'll tell you what, if he'd have been playing, he'd be the offensive star of the game. I can guarantee you that.
I think it's Amos again. I mean, look, Christian Jones had 8 tackles today, so he or Amos were the 2 best defensive players out on the field today for the Bears. And then Dan's guy, he was the MVP for the Broncos yet again.
Yeah.
Hamp, what do you think they see in Shea, if you had to guess?
You know, hey.
I don't know, but it's scary.
He's a first-round draft pick that nobody wants to, you know, hide in a closet. They're like, oh, we can't, you know, we can't eat him, can't kill him, you know, we got to play him. Well, guess what? It's a detriment to the team. I'm just telling you, the kid is a detriment.
312-981-7200. Let's get... Yes, OB. Go ahead. I'm just going to get Sean in a car here. Has been waiting patiently on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Sean.
Sean, are you there?
Are you asking for Chuck?
Chuck, if it's you, then go time, baby.
Hey, guys. I tell you what, you guys are more entertaining than sitting and watching these games, but it pains me to watch number 50 run around the field. I've been a season ticket holder for since 1982, and I remember the other number 50 running around, and it was a little different. But, hey, you know, following the Cubs model, Theo Epstein would trade away anybody of any value to improve draft selections and picks, and the Bears can't seem to do that. So I think what they're doing is just making these bonehead calls, and they're in these games are just slipping away.
Well,
not taking the points, poor choice.
Yeah, but 4-6 doesn't put you in the number one pick. I would agree with you, Chuck, except for 4-6 is, you know, that's as bad as it gets, because it just puts you right at 500, which is not a great draft choice.
Well, and they also traded off earlier in the year. You traded John Bostic, right? You got rid of Jared Allen. You've acquired low-level picks. I mean, in football, it just doesn't work.
Christian Jones and Anderson should be the starters. I mean, it's just that we're a better defense. But you know what, Chuck? We appreciate your listening, and we appreciate your comment. But you know what's interesting? You know, I watch this kid. And again, I don't want to make this whole show about number 50. But
poor
I'm just
Shea,
saying, you know,
yeah.
What is what wrenches your guts is when you play the game, you better play with some physicality and toughness and all that, and he has zero. And you know what, OB, Tuesday night you are going to be at an event where we are going to be honoring a guy that did play the game the way you wanted to see a linebacker play it.
Absolutely, and he played it magnificently for 14 years. My old partner, Doug Buffon, God love him. He was just a great guy. This coming Tuesday, November 24th, from 5:30 to 7:30, Dan Hampton and I, with a host of a whole bunch of other people, hopefully, and some other celebrities, so to speak.
And Mark Carman's parking cars.
Well, and Mark is probably, he's parking cars. But anyway, we'll be at Gibson's upstairs for Doug's book, Monster of the Midway. It's about his 50 years with the Bears, and it's a fun read. It's a great read. It's the holiday season, folks. Please come by, and Dana Buffon will be there. She's just an absolute sweetheart, and Doug had a whole bunch of kids, so yeah. we gotta get the twin daughters. We gotta get them some money. So again, this coming Tuesday, the 24th, Gibson's upstairs, book signing. Dan Hampton, myself, with Dana Buffone. Please stop by,
and
folks,
get there early. I'll be out there for the car parking starting at 4:30, guys. 4:30 is when I will be there. I am wearing one of my prime looks, a good tuxedo for the occasion.
Is it going to be the baby powder blue tux from your prom?
Still debating, Kazer.
You know what, Mark? The other thing in going along with Dan, your theory on number 50. You know, what I look at and I think of the many people that go through the Pop Warner League, high school, injuries, college, and if they're not drafted, they sign as a free agent and get a chance to try to fulfill that dream. And, you know, maybe they're that real fringe player and whatever have you. And when I see a guy by the Shea McClellan, who I don't know, Bears had to be the only one they had on his draft sheet, especially number one. When I see this guy out there playing a position in a game he can't play, and they keep him year after year after year, and I think about those kids that gave everything they had to try to make the team.
It's insulting.
And guess what? They're gone because of this kid? Because of this kid? Give me a break.
312-981-7200. We do have the 4 o'clock news, and then we will have John Fox. It'll be interesting to see what the head coach of the Bears had to say about his own performance today. That's straight ahead. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com at 720 WGN.
Well, it's coming. Rod Forrest.
Hamp. Dan Hampton.
Kaz, I can't take
OB.
It.
It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, Kaz.
Hey, what's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Touchdown, Bears.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. On the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
Going to hear from the head coach, John Fox, in a matter of moments here. This is Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. I'm Mark Tarman. Ooh, doggy. We're here with you till 6 o'clock, 312-981-7200. Just some unbelievable stuff, too, today from Roger Goodell about fantasy sports. We'll get to that at some point. Jay Cutler on the two-point conversion, as we're going to hear from Fox, had two options on the play. It was a run pass, and to me, Cutler didn't look like he was sure what he was going to do. He gave the ball to Jeremy Langford a little bit later than you if he was going to hand it off. So I'm asking you guys, do you think that was the right call to put it in Cutler's hands, say, hey, here are the options, go out and do it? Or should Fox have just said, hey, this is what we're doing, we're running, we're passing it, go get him? Anybody?
Very simple. You stick to the game plan. You all of a sudden don't reinvent the game plan while the game's going on, not unless it's in the middle of late third quarter and you're getting your backside handed to you. You don't change. You don't put it in his hands. That's not a game is played today. Period. You send a play in, bang, he forceful in the huddle, bang, let's go, let's run it.
But I think what he's trying to say, OB, is
it's a run pass option.
You get one or the other. Which one do you want? And so the quarterback has to decide. That's pretty hefty lifting for a quarterback. But again,
I understand that, gentlemen.
Well, but still, and we're not breaking down tape, and we don't know exactly what would be most effective and erstwhile down inside the 4-yard line at that point in time. You know, Jay Cutler has to know what he thinks will be the most successful opportunity.
He went the wrong way. Yeah, tough part of it, though, is when they had the whole entire final drive to think about a very specific play that can convert 2 points. And that's the damn play they should have called.
Wait a minute.
Not a check with me.
Are we all forgetting about when they go through practice, folks, okay? Every day of practice, it should be almost every day, they go through a goal line offense and a goal line defense, okay? And they go through every scenario offensively. Which hash mark it's on, whether it's a pass, a run, whatever the tendencies are, the team that you're going to play. They go through, they practice it, they know. So what I'm saying is, you don't make that decision to Cutler. You right. make the decision. You make the call because you practice it all week.
Right, and you should have had, as a coordinator, he should have had a play that is his go-to two-point play to convert.
Glenn, they practice it all week.
Right.
That's why you have goal line offense.
Right.
312-981-7200. One call, and then we'll get to John Fox. Mark in New Lenox been waiting for an hour. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Mark.
Here's my thing with Cutler. You know, you got to win like five games to get to the Super Bowl, if I'm right. And it doesn't seem that he can go through a stretch of five games consistently winning. And as long as he's the quarterback, I don't see how we're going to get to the Super Bowl. I'll hang up and listen to your thoughts.
Well, here, Mark, you know, that you got offense, you got defense, and then obviously special teams. But, I mean, there's certain things that happen that, I mean, you've got a team that's 29th in running the football in the National Football League, and they stick it up your nose running 170 yards, blow our guys right off the line of scrimmage and our linebackers, eat up the time. I just – there's so many things that happen today. They're just absolutely
Cutler's the reason we're 4-6 right now.
What?
Yeah.
He's the reason, Mark, why we're even in the game in the fourth quarter.
He's been the MVP, there's no doubt. Let's get to John Fox, head coach of the Chicago Bears, who certainly had a large part in the Bears coming up short today.
He's the head coach. He's responsible for poor decision-making in the fourth quarter.
Let's hear from him. Here's John Fox out at Soldier Field.
Reporting injuries from the game, we did have Kadeem Carey, running back, left the game basically with a head injury. We'll update you on that as we did not return. Any questions?
John, fourth and goal from the four, 10 minutes to go. Why not take the points in that situation?
You know, I think we hadn't made many trips down there, and we hadn't scored touchdowns. It'd been kind of a field goal game, and you know, at that point in the game, we felt that was going to be kind of maybe our last opportunity. So we were aggressive and came up short on 4th and 4.
Why did you think it might be your last opportunity?
Well, I think, you know, again, you're going against a pretty stingy defense. You know, they scored 17 points and we scored 15. That's not a real high-scoring game in our business. But we knew it would be tough sledding, and so we needed to take advantage of getting points when we had the opportunity.
Was a two-point conversion or a pass-run option, and did Jay change the play at the line?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get into, you know, scheme and what we're doing schematically, but, you know, obviously it came up short.
Do you think going for it there was a little bit out of character for you philosophically? I mean, you've been pretty conservative, it seems like, throughout the season.
Well, I think, you know, again, they went for it on 4th down and didn't convert either. So, you know, maybe that had a factor too.
John, what makes that defense so tough up front?
Yeah, they got good players. You know, I think they got good team speed. They got good rushers off the edge. They've got good guys on the outside to cover. I think that's pretty good ingredients for good defense in a National Football League.
Denver drove right down early on. Did you guys make adjustments? What did the defense do after that?
I mean, we left the guy uncovered. You know, it was, you know, so we needed to get that adjusted, and I think we figured that out.
John, ultimately in that two-point conversion, do you feel it's better to give your offense an option or a run-pass option, just more options than a straight run to the right side?
I mean, yeah, if you pay attention to what we do, I mean, we have a lot of that in our offense, every down, not just on two-point plays. And, you know, sometimes we execute it and sometimes we don't.
On that first touchdown, what caused the guy to be left uncovered? Was it a communication breakdown?
You know, you guys always want to hear the blame game, but, you know, we just didn't execute very well. That's what happened.
John, speaking of struggling to run the football coming into today's game, what was it about their ability to get out the perimeter pretty consistently?
Well, I think anytime you go under center, that you have a quarterback that can make you defend the edge, you know, I think it's an advantage. You know, we had a pretty good idea of what they would do and how they do it. They didn't do anything that surprised us.
Did you feel like this was a good game by your defense?
Well, I mean, I don't really feel great about any time we lose. You know, I don't really understand the question, but, you know, I don't think it was a super porous defense that caused us to lose the game, if that's what you're asking.
How
coach.
John, what was the discussion on the first Cutler interception right after Kadeem gets knocked out? What did Jay say went wrong on that play?
No, he didn't. We don't really have time to do all that stuff. Not like this. You know,
from your vantage point.
Well, the guy played inside and made a good play on the ball. Danny Trevathan, 59.
Biggest challenges for the offense today being as shorthanded as it was without Mac, without Alshon?
You know, I mean, every week, you know, it's different. They were shorthanded. They were short some guys. We were short some guys. That's the National Football League. You know, we'll evaluate it tomorrow and get a short week. You know, guys will be in and lift and flush as far as physically. They won't meet with us. We'll game plan and we'll get ready for a game Thursday night in Green Bay.
From a personal standpoint, any different for you today facing your own team?
From what?
From a personal standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, there was more guys to say hi to after the game. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
There he is, John Fox. So,
now I know why John Elway ran him out of Dodge.
Well, let me tell you something. You know, he's talking
about... Makes
more
sense why he did it.
We listen, Denver almost put 400 yards on us in total offense with a quarterback that has never started a game in the National Football League, and today was his 25th birthday.
Let me throw a couple things in here. First of all, that locker room interview with John Fox, which was just absolutely fantastic, was sponsored by Motorworks. Nobody works like Motorworks to earn your business. Hamp and OB with Kaz right now, sponsored by Parent Petroleum, also sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group, and sponsored by GinosEast.com. They went for it on fourth down and didn't get it, so we can go for it on fourth down? Are you kidding me?
The stuff he said was so ridiculous, and that is why when Hamp opened the show, he was concise and clear. John Fox was responsible for this loss today on poor decision-making, and then to make it worse, he's almost flippant and like nonchalant about it after the game. Like, you want him to have the blame game? Yeah, John Fox, it's called winning and losing. You lost. You're the head coach. You're responsible. Take some responsibility and put your big boy pants on before you get run out of Chicago, too.
I like what you said there, Cos. But here's the thing. You know, we take it personal. This was a game of consequence that we wanted to win.
Huge.
At all cost at all times, and for the head coach to come out and, as you said, be flippant about, oh well, it didn't work out, boy, that guts me. I gotta tell you, I don't like that one bit.
That was really rough. I mean, we hadn't been down there before, so that's why we're going for it. That has nothing to do with anything.
And then he goes, you know, it's a tough team to get points on, right? Take your points, you jerk off. And then he's, well, we came up a little short. Well, it was fourth and four, and you came up 4 yards short, John Fox. That's not a little short. That's a lot short, you moron.
I'm starting to think weasel is a better
moniker. See, that's you say that, Hamp, and it's like
I'm bewildered.
Well, because he's known as a player's coach, right? He's in bed with these guys. You see it on the field.
Yeah.
But he's always going to stand up and not give anything. And then when there's at some point, like what you're saying, guys, you're the leader, man. You got to own it.
There has to be some point where you say, I take responsibility. And yes, there were consequences to your decisions. And you know what? And you're describing it as being flippant is dead on, Kaz. Come on. Hey, any way you want to cut this thing, this is at Fox's feet, just like the Minnesota loss, just like the Detroit loss. And you know what? I'm getting tired of having to explain to the listeners out there why this team that really fought pretty damn hard has to come up empty.
312-981-7200. That's the phone number you like to get in. How are you feeling about the head coach? 312-981-7200. For those who take it like a Bears fan, Chicago Tribune Sports Plus is for you. Get award-winning sports-only coverage, insights, and perks at chicagotribune.com/sportsplus. OB?
Well, you know, you look at, listen, Fox, he's done some pretty damn good things as a head coach. And do I think he still is the right guy here? Yes, I do. He was handed a lot. He was handed a junk pile, gentlemen. A junk pile when he came here as a head coach. He brought, I think, the right assistants in. And I think they've done, for the most part.
Hamp just named three games, Ed, that they could have won this year.
I totally agree with him. But I think who was out there, Fox was the best guy available. And I think Fangio is the guy defensively, and I think Gase is the guy offensively. There's coaches and there's coaches. There's a lot of them. But what I don't understand is the position coaches. Fuller, again, what irritates the heck out of me, folks, is such basic, simple football. When you're on a goal line defense and you're the cornerback and you're against a wideout, there's ways. There's only one way you play that man. One stinking way. And we're into the ninth game of the year, and we've got a cornerback that can't figure it out. We've got a middle, one of our of the four linebackers who plays inside, McClellan, who, as Doug Buffon would say, he can't play dead. I mean, it's unbelievable. That's what bothers me. I think they're the right people, but, boy, we need help. That defensive line, excuse me, folks, that defensive line you see out there today will not be here next year.
Yeah, but here's the bigger
issue. They will not
be
here.
The bigger issue is all you want from your head coach is to take responsibility and be a man. And sometimes what the leader has to do is say, on me, my fault, my guys played their guts out, and John Fox didn't do that today.
Well,
and
maybe
that makes him Weasley.
Maybe,
in my
maybe
book, that makes him a Weasel.
Maybe there was a reason, because they didn't.
He said we came up a little bit short. No, you.
You came up short.
Blundered an opportunity to win. That's it. Case in point.
312-981-7200. Hamp and OB with Kaz. We still have Jay Cutler to hear from, Adam Hoge out at Soldier Field, and talking to you. 312-981-7200. Bears and the Packers coming up on Thanksgiving, too. We'll preview that one. 720 WGN.
Touchdown, Bears!
The Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OB show with Kaz. Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Thanks for tuning us on this Sunday. Sorry we don't have a better result for you. The Bears lose to the Broncos 17-15.
Mark, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Again, let's go back to, you know, the prior week here in practice. Folks, they know every tendency that the opponent is going to do. Quality control breaks down a minimum of three games. Who the your next opponent is going to be, they put a game plan together. Offensive coordinator does his thing. Defensive coordinator does his thing. With all the information they give them, with the position coaches, then they come to John Fox and they get the okay. This is what we want to do defensively. This is what we want to do offensively. And this is how it should work, and this is how it should go. And guess what, folks? I don't know how, when you get into the red zone, that you cannot figure out how to get into the end zone. How many times did we actually try with a pass play to get into the end zone? Think about it. How many times?
Well, there
the missed calls. Defensively, they practice the same thing. They know all the tendencies of the people you're going to play. All right? Whether you're a cornerback, a strong safety, a weak safety, two middle linebackers outside, doesn't matter. You know you have everything down. You have a whole week, and you practice, and you go through it. And then all of a sudden, somebody gets dumbfounded, and we're going to give Jay Cutler an option to do this or to do that on a certain play. No, that's not how it's done.
Real quick call, Mike and Byron, you're on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Mike, be fast, please.
Yeah, I was just looking at the run plays on first down. It seemed like they were trying to jam the ball down the middle, and they weren't spreading out the wide receivers.
Yes, you're right, Mike. They bunched up, and they were averaging like 0.1 yard a carry on. They went like 11 first down plays. They had 10 runs that averaged a yard. So you're right, 100% right, Mike.
We'll get more calls coming back here, 312-981-7200. Also talk to Adam Hoge out at Soldier Field. Jay Cutler in the 4 o'clock hour as well. We got a lot to do here. It's Hamp and OB with Kaz.
We want to take care of first set of callers. That's for damn sure.
Always and forever, 312-981-7200, 720 WGN.
Up the gut, Langford! Touchdown, Bears! Jeremy Langford plows in. They are 2 points away from tying this one up late in the fourth. Langford denied! The Broncos!
the safety spot, totally unblocked, dove at the legs of Langford, and Langford never had a shot.
That was Ian Eagle. Dan Fouts on the call today. Bears lose to the Broncos 17-15. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. With you till 6. Phone number's 312-981-7200. Let's bring in the best Bears beat reporter out there, Adam Hoge, who covers it for WGN Radio and WGNRadio.com. Adam, we listened to Fox. We haven't played Cutler yet. I'm curious, let's go down to the second and goal at the 4. Do you think, in your mind, that John Fox knew that it was 4-down territory?
I'm a little confused by the question.
Well, here's what we've been debating, Adam, because if it's second down and 4, and you know, on the 4-yard line, and you know that you're going to have 3 plays to punch it in, usually a coordinator will probably run it on second down or third down because he knows he has 3 plays to get the 4 yards.
Okay, yeah, okay, I get that now. So you're talking about when it was second down. You know, I don't know that it was thought of that far in advance. It felt like more of an impulsive decision to just go for it on fourth down, and it was a play that, I mean, I said it at the time before the play even happened. I think when you need a 2-point conversion anyway, you should take the 3 points because that gives you the guaranteed 2-point conversion that you're going to need plus one more. If you're deciding to go for it there, you're saying that you have to get it in twice from that spot. Because not only do you have to get the touchdown, but then you have to get the 2-point conversion. And the odds of that happening are just not as high as kicking the easy field goal. But John Fox said after the game that he didn't feel like they were going to get down there again. He felt like that was going to be the last opportunity. That's not showing a whole lot of faith in really both sides of the football.
Well, but more importantly, though, Adam, the way he said it was, well, it's a really good defense, and so you've got to take points when you get down there. And I'm like, yeah, John Fox, it's called 3. You take 3 with 11 minutes to go in the game, and really did not. I don't know. It was very. It really rubbed me wrong, Adam, because it was just offensive and just so nonchalant in his interview after the game. Look, you're the leader. Take responsibility. That's on John Fox and his poor decision making in the fourth quarter that this team lost the game.
Okay, Adam, and that is exactly our contention here. Now, listen. John Fox, he is in charge of this team doing one thing. They could give up 1,000 yards, but if they win, he's successful. The point is, he has to be the man that says, I'm kicking a field goal. Stop. You're not going on fourth down for it. Now, an offensive coordinator, they want to be creative. Everybody knows Adam Gase is like, ooh, the hot young coordinator. Ooh, Adam Gase wants to go for it because he thinks, oh, I'm going to be clever. I'm going to be creative. We're going to get this. No, you as a head coach, your job is to win. And you override whatever he's thinking and say, I'm the coach. We're kicking the damn field goal.
Yeah, well, I think it was John Fox's call. I mean, I think it was. I think he just has to live with it. It's just weird to me because we saw a game at Detroit, you know, a month or so ago where I thought he was so conservative that it killed
right.
He cost him the game. And in this case, it really goes against pretty much everything John Fox has stood for in his career. So that's why I was surprised by the call at the time. And obviously the outcome made it a lot harder for them to win because then it came down to the 2-point conversion at the end when the Bears would already had the lead.
Hey, and I gotta ask you on that too, Adam, because look, I've been coaching high school football for 16 years now, and I can tell you that I have 3 plays that are 2-point plays that I work on weekly through the start of the season till the end of the season, and these are go-to plays that I know in that moment I could pull that out. There is no read by the quarterback. This is a design play, and the kids run it to perfection because they've worked on it all the time. How can you put a 2-point play, and knowing that you had to go for it for the entire 8 minutes left in the game, and then make it a read pass option on it? It's mind-numbing to think that at the highest level, they didn't think something like that through and plan on something like that.
Well,
Let me take you through the 2-point conversion, what I was able to gather in the locker room. So obviously at this point we all know that it was a pass
run option, that they went to line scrimmage with a pass called, and Jay made the check to a run based on what the look he got. Now, I've never played quarterback in the NFL, so I don't know what he was looking at, but I saw in the replay 11 guys that were standing next to the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
So that's a little confusing to start with. And then if you watch the play develop, did you guys see what Martellus Bennett did? He ran a route. He didn't run block. He ran a route. So obviously there was some miscommunication there about getting to the run play from the pass. And guess who came in and made the stop? It was T.J. Ward.
The guy that was covering him, right.
Yeah, lined up against Martellus Bennett. So a lot of things obviously went wrong there. I think it's why the Bears were pretty coy in talking about the two-point conversion. John Fox didn't want to talk about it, and Jake came to the podium right away and said he wasn't going to get into the schematics. Obviously, they screwed something up there.
Hey,
yeah,
Adam.
How do you not practice this? How do you not have a go-to play on that? I don't get it.
Adam, let me tell you something, which I said a little bit earlier. When you're practicing all week, you're up and down the field, you know, down and distance situations, and you every day, usually most of the time you end it with goal line offense, okay? And they have every down, every situation, and they know what Denver likes to do on first and goal, second and goal, whatever they like to do. What the mistake was given supposedly Cutler an option, okay? You practice all week. Send the play in. Don't give him the chance for an option. Let him zero in on one call, one play. That's what you do. That's how you run the damn football game. And to come in there and, well, it could be this, it could be that. No, because you practice it all week. And that's what they do every week, Adam. They know what they have to do on the one-foot line, on the one-yard line, on the three-yard line. It doesn't matter. They know which play to call when there's a defense. You do not give the quarterback the option to make that switch.
I mean, I agree in that situation. It maybe complicates things a little bit when you're giving them a check there. But, you know, on the flip side, it was a week ago where Jay correctly checked to a run on third and nine or whatever that was, or third and 10, and they picked up 11. So, I mean, they do trust him to make the right read. Again, I don't know if it was the right read. It certainly seemed questionable with 11 Broncos standing at the line of scrimmage. At the same time, though, there was some miscommunication, obviously, because Martellus Bennett was running a route like it was a pass, and clearly it wasn't.
Yeah, so, but, you know, Adam, we both know that Bennett's going to run the route rather than block. You're right. It's not your fault, and by no means is it anybody. We're just trying to figure out how – it just seems that when you – how do you not have a go-to play that you could do down there, because every team knows that they're going to get in that situation. It just, and you're right. San Diego Cutler option to the run play and the 2-point play, and they got it.
That wasn't the number one ranked defense in all of football.
Right. But what was bizarre, Adam, is hey, you know what the Broncos did a really good job of? They confused Cutler when he was making the check, because when that play developed, if you saw him, I mean, he hung on to that, and he wasn't even sure if he should give it to him or not. Didn't it feel that way to you? Like he wasn't sure if he should just pull it out and maybe run himself? It was a bizarre play.
Here, guys, let me again. Going back to this, okay? Whatever yard line it is, there are running plays that will score, and there are passing plays that will score. And they run through it every week. This is not a mystery, guys. This is what they do. They have a play that's a run and a play that's a pass in that situation, and the offensive coordinator calls one or the other in. That's how it's played.
Hey, Adam, when you're in the locker room, any sense of pointing blame at anyone? John Fox, of course, said that, you know, the media always wants to play the blame game, which is, you know, part of the deal. I would think you would understand that. But did you feel like, hey, like any guys were talking out about, well, we should have done something different?
No, I get the sense, and at the time I hadn't seen the replay, but I got the sense that someone obviously screwed up the way they were talking about things, and no one wanted to say who it was. So after I got a chance to look at it and realize that there was a guy running a passing route instead of blocking, that sort of made a little bit more sense. But, you know, agree with you guys on Fox today. I mean,
look, we're not playing the blame game. You lost.
Right.
And last week, you know what we were doing after the game? We were trying to figure out who made the check on third down to pick up that huge first down run, and then everyone gave Cutler credit all week. So that's what happens when you win. And when you lose and someone screws up, yeah, there's going to be blame. That's how it works. And there was a couple other questions. I know he got asked if the defense played well today, and he said, I don't understand the question.
Right.
How do you not understand the question? And then there was the he got asked about Jay Cutler's interception. He said, oh, well, we don't have time to talk about that right now. Well, it's a press conference after the game. That's when you're supposed to talk about it. So that was frustrating, no question.
Yeah, he just, you know what, I'll tell you, after listening to that interview, it bothered me so much, Adam, that the happiest guy is John Elway flying back to Denver because he doesn't have to deal with John Fox anymore because he got rid of him and hired a guy that probably didn't deserve to be the head coach in the National Football League.
Hey, Adam, before you go, the injury report, that's kind of amazing to think about. The injury report is brought to you by the Rogers Auto Group in the new South Loop. Kadeem Carey had a concussion, which John Fox wouldn't quite say, but that was well reported. Anything else?
No, they came out pretty clean other than that. So Kadeem had the concussion, but, I mean, that's a pretty big injury if you don't have Forte.
Yep.
Now, the good news is, and I got this sense starting late last week and continued to get it today in the locker room, I think a possible... Well, definitely a factor today why Alshon Jeffery and Matt Forte did not play was because they have this Thursday game in Green Bay. So I would expect that some of these guys who missed today will be back. I think they're being a little bit cautious knowing that that's a division game and you always want to beat the Packers.
Are you serious?
But, I mean, think about this, though, Adam, and I get what you're saying, and it makes complete sense, but being 5-5 and going to Green Bay is a lot different than being 4-6 and going to Green Bay.
Yep.
It really, I mean, this is a game that if John Fox, and what bothers me the most is he didn't even have the guts to take responsibility for completely blowing chowder and making horrendous decisions in the fourth quarter that could have won the game for him. I sure wouldn't want to have a leader that is that gutless. Would you want to follow a guy like that?
That's a tough one. I think that the thing is there's kind of two John Foxes. There's the guy that gets up to the podium and doesn't answer our question, and then there's the guy that, if I had to guess, probably did take responsibility in the locker room or, you know, at least will voice that to his team at some point. I mean, I do know that the players love playing for him. They love him as a head coach. It's a completely different atmosphere from last year when there was no accountability and no one seemed to really care for who they were playing for. So I really do kind of believe there's two John Foxes, the guy that frustrates us in the media and probably a lot of the fans. But in the locker room, I do think those guys like playing for him.
Adam, great stuff as always. We'll be reading you at WGNRadio.com. And, of course, we'll talk to you Thursday night from Green Bay.
All right, see you guys.
There goes Adam Hoge. Craving Gino's East legendary deep dish pizza, handmade with their famous buttery flaky crust, loaded with the freshest ingredients, then topped with a flavorful sauce. Bring the family to Gino's East with 10 locations in Chicagoland. They're closer than you think. Try the favorites like the Meaty Legend, the Chicago Fire, or their signature patty-style sausage. If you can't make it to them, Gino's East will, of course, come to you, order pizza delivery to your home, or ship this iconic Windy City legend nationwide. For delivery zones and info, visit GinosEast.com.
Good job, Adam.
Adam, all over it today.
And he does do a good job.
And if you want to see what he's talking about, the two-point play, two-point conversion, go to his Twitter feed, at Adam Hoge. He's got it broken down. It's exactly where TJ Ward came through and how Martellus ran going out for a pass.
Yeah,
we should have been
95,
blocking.
Listen, the tackle made a nice play also. He took the outside edge and then dipped under. So that play was doomed.
312-981-7200. Get some calls. We'll also hear from Jay Cutler. A lot to do here till 6 on 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Get you caught up on everything that's going on around the NFL after 5 o'clock. I'm Mark Carmen. This is Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. I want to hit on one thing that Adam said there, and it's, you know, a little bit of speculation, but with the Bears playing on Thanksgiving this coming Thursday, hope you have a Turkey Day football game set up for yourself. His contention was that Alshon and Matt Forte potentially didn't play today because they are coming back.
Saving them for Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, now, Hamp, that's got to be, I would think that would bother you to no end.
Wait a minute. Run that one by me again.
Okay, here's the deal. At Fox this morning, we were watching video of Matt Forte out running full speed routes, cutting, doing everything full speed, and yet they did not play him today. And Alshon Jeffrey, who played a week ago, not very good in St. Louis, but he was playing, he was held out as well. And the contention was that they wanted to make sure they were healthy and ready to go for Thursday.
Short
week,
right. Kai's
saying, well, okay, you're 4-6. It's over now. Who cares if they play?
I mean,
this is unbelievable to me.
That just hit me right between the eyes. You got about... Is that a?
I mean, that's what
Adam
said.
Adam was suggesting that that was a feeling in the locker room too. That these guys
they were held out to preserve them to play in a almost meaningless game now in Green Bay on Thanksgiving night. Of course, we'll have pregame and postgame.
I mean, it's meaningful, but it's meaningless if you can't take care of business at home.
I'm not even going to go there because if I do.
You're going to blow a gasket, right?
But here's the other part of that.
Are you kidding me?
Hey, this is the other part about that. The head coach, John Fox, allegedly was pessimistic about their chances with 11 minutes to go about ever getting back down into the red zone and having a chance to score.
That's why he's been
doing it all year.
Okay, and Cutler, exactly. Cutler, I think he leads the league in fourth quarter scoring drives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for your head coach to make that kind of a statement, whether it was verbally or however it was transmitted, is astounding to me. I'm flabbergasted.
Would you want to play for a guy that actually said that? I mean, look, this guy, but I got to be honest. He would lose a part of that team because he was basically saying, I didn't believe you guys were good enough to go back down the field and get in position to score again. So we went for it on 4th-and-4, Ed.
We were prepared to do it.
Guys, gentlemen, both of you, Mark, love you guys. I'm not going there.
Why do you think I blew the gasket, Ed?
If I did, I'd lose it. I would totally and completely lose it. I'm getting close now, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, but I mean, that's why I was out of my mind when I started in on Fox because I couldn't believe the ridiculous stuff that he was saying in this interview. And it's like, you know what? At some point, put your big boy pants on and man up. Accept responsibility.
In this game of football, that's almost sacrilegious. You got to be kidding me.
Right.
Can you believe any of this stuff? It's scary.
If Jimmy Clausen was playing, I'd say, okay, that makes sense.
Right.
Not with this guy, Cutler. He's, like I said, he's been a phenom in the fourth quarter this year.
Isn't it the object? You played a game to win?
Yeah, each game.
Isn't it
one
the
at a time. One at a time, man. Well, one win came
up,
one
unless
week,
you
one
come
one
up a little short, and that's okay.
Well, you're just a little short.
I wonder if George McKeskey wants to come up a little short in his paycheck this week, if that's going to matter.
Let's take a quick time out here, get the news, and we'll get back at this. There's a bunch that we can delve into there.
Wait a minute. Let's try to get past this one. I don't want to explode, please. Let's get past this, what we just talked about.
Yeah, the quick timeout will get you in the news in a matter of moments on 720 WGN.
You guys always want to hear the blame game, but you know, we just didn't execute very well. That's what happened.
That was John Fox. Tamp OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Can we rerun that cart? Because I think my guy Ed didn't get to hear it.
Well, I was in the room at the time.
Let's rerun it if we can here. By the way, we buried the lead on the show, and he won't let me tweet out the picture because that's not what he does. But OB is wearing the fanciest shirt that he's worn all season long. He looks ready to be on South Beach or Las Vegas or wherever you go, Obi. You look fantastic.
What's that dance
today?
Show where they dance? What is it? Dancing with the Stars, Ed. That'd be awesome. That shirt is perfect for dance. Let me tell you, this is an expensive shirt now. I'm wearing a freebie, and Ed has a shirt that most people, it would cost a small fortune to purchase.
Let's not get crazy here.
You got the cufflinks going on here.
He's even cuffed up. I mean, look at the detail on the cuffs.
Well, the details are what I'm going to say right now. Again, people, Hamp and I are going to be at Gibson's Restaurant 5:30 to 7:30 on this coming Tuesday, the 24th of November, for Doug's book, Monster of the Midway. Excuse me. And Doug wrote it. That's just about almost the last. Just as that book was coming out, that's when he died. So Dana Buffone, Doug and I will be there Tuesday at Gibson's upstairs. Please come, folks.
And Mark will be parking cars. And this is not only is it a great read, it just kind of gives you, I mean, you know, if Doug is involved with it at all, it is going to make you laugh. It's going to make you cry. It's going to bring out all kinds of emotions.
Exactly, Glenn. It's got everything in it. It really is. It'd be a good gift for the holidays.
Have you picked out your shirt for Tuesday night?
You know what I'm going to do with this shirt in a minute? I'm going to take it off and wrap it around your neck and hang you out the window.
I mean, I could hang a long way on that shirt.
That shirt is
a monster.
It's fabulous.
It is a fabulous shirt.
Drive of the Game, sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. Click patrickcars.com. Kaz, you want to take the Drive of the Game?
That's a no-brainer. Jay Cutler takes the team yet again spectacularly.
Wait a minute. The coach didn't think that he could do it.
Right. That's why they went
for it. That's why he went for it.
Because
he thought, there's no way Jay Cutler could make another touchdown drive.
But the goofiest part is, look, you're down eight. You kick the field goal, you're down five. That drive that Jay Cutler makes, it's the game winner. And whether Robbie Gould makes the extra point or not, it's irrelevant because you win the game. You win the game 18-17 if you just kick the ball through the uprights, John Fox.
If they had won today, just for a minute, just allow a little dream. If they had won today, imagine the conversation.
Man, 5-5.
Going to Green Bay, could they beat the Packers? And Green Bay is, they're winning now 16-6 over the Vikings, 12-25 to go in the third quarter. But it would have been a huge one.
Well, listen, even if they won the game, I'll tell you something. We're here to point out the good, bad, and the indifferent, okay? And there are so many things that were not good today, which obviously I believe led to their defeat. And we would have had to, even if they won, Mark, we'd have had to point these things out.
Well, and there were some positives today. There's plenty of positives. We mentioned
positive is Jay Cutler. Again, for the ninth game, keeping this team, giving them a chance to win by his actual physical ability and a great, powerful arm.
And what bothers me is they, at the end of the game, on the two-point play, they are basically, in essence, saying, well, he had the option to run pass, and he picked the wrong option. And that, to me, is mind-numbing because that is poor coaching by the coaches.
There's no question about it. And again, you have to have you said it when we were on break. As a high school coach, 16 years. You think about those plays in July before you even start. This is what we're going to do when and if, and it's going to happen. We need a two-point play. It's not going to be a garden variety play. It's going to be something that you know will work.
And
you practice
special,
it every
and you
week.
Work on it every week, and everybody has it down pat, and it works.
Let's get back to what we were saying before the break, too, about sitting out guys to get so you make sure they're ready for Green Bay. I mean, I would think that would resonate in the locker room pretty poorly. I'm ready to go. Everybody's dinged up in there, right?
Nobody's not injured,
right?
In week 10.
And you're watching, as you were talking about Hamp before, you're watching Matt Forte sprinting around. And listen, I'm not calling Matt Forte soft or anything like that, but it is curious to hear Adam say that these guys, if they weren't playing on Thursday, they probably would have gone today. And that's a big-time statement.
That's the coaching, and that goes beyond their the players now, the medical staff, the staff has a say on that beyond the player also. Right? I mean, it's not just player.
I'm not getting involved in that conversation again like before the break, because if I do, I know damn well I'll lose it, because that's repulsive to me. That is it's embarrassing. It's scared to death football. and it's everything against how football game, football it's, coaches and players
it's
should
self-preservation
think.
Self-preservation football, and that is not the way you win in this league. You can make a long career out of it, but I don't want you.
Hampton will be sponsored by GinosEast.com. Thank you once again for the outstanding pizza, salad, cookies, etc. today. 312-981-7200. When we come back, we will update you on everything that's going on around the NFL. And also, we'll take your calls at 312-981-7200.
Hey, by the way, do we have that clip of Adam Hogue making that statement?
Yes, we do.
We'll
play it for you coming back after the break, OB. How's that?
Okay, yeah. And one other thing. Kaz, if you want, I'll buy a copy of Monster of the Midway if you can drop it off at Hallis Hall for Shay McClellan.
yeah, just so he knows what a true
warrior
is. Doug Buffon, that's a warrior.
Learn how real Chicagoans live the day-to-day struggles and successes with health, fitness, and food. Watch Living Healthy Chicago Sundays at 11:30 on WGN TV, 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hampton OB Show with Kaz.
Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com
on 720 WGN.
With you till 6 o'clock on 720 WGN, Hampton OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. My name is Mark Carmen. It's 312-981-7200. That is the phone line. That is the text line as well if you'd like to reach the show. 312-981-7200. All right, we've been talking about what Adam Hogue said about the Bears potentially keeping Alshon and Matt Forte out today because they were skeptical they could play today and then play again on Thursday. So this was Adam a little bit ago on the show.
And I got this sense starting late last week and continued to get it today in the locker room. I think of a possible... Well, definitely a factor today why Alshon Jeffery and Matt Forte did not play was because they have this Thursday game in Green Bay. So I would expect that some of these guys who missed today will be back. I think they're being a little bit cautious knowing that that's a division game and you will always want to beat the backer.
So there you go. That was Adam's contention from being in the locker room. Alshon was out there last week as a decoy. He caught three balls, and he wasn't even close to 100%. But he did have an impact on the game. So whether you know the coaching staff or the training staff or whoever is making the call, at the end of the day, the player is going to have the final say here. And if Alshon felt, if he just said, "Hey, listen, I feel like I can give the guy something today," then he's going to play. And
you think a two in the red zone on fourth down, Mark, where you know you could run a fade to Jeffery, it's pretty money most of the time. He has such a height advantage.
If you go back and break this film down, and I'm guessing 60% of the time, okay, they've got two good corners, Chris Harris and Aqib Talib. Okay, 60% of the time, we either lined up Jeremy Langford out as a split or Martellus Bennett. Now, how much... I don't know how tough your job is, folks, but if you think you're going to beat all pro corners with those two guys lined up outside, it's basically you're playing with 10 guys. So I don't understand this hesitancy of and allowing Alshon to basically pick and choose when he wants or feels like playing. You're either playing or you're not. Oh, well, I'm going to save my – I don't know. And you're right. It's a can of worms. We don't know. We don't know definitively. But I got to tell you, if he's wanting to get paid – I don't know. I'm just saying, how much can you count on someone?
Dan, what it is, if he was out there, Jeffery, somebody has to be accountable on that defense for Jeffery.
And it's almost
believe
like they're
me.
Doubling.
Believe
you'll
me,
put
folks.
Two guys.
Absolutely. You cannot play Jeffery, and you got somebody has to be on him. Like Dan said, maybe one, maybe two guys. You just can't wing it. And again, if that is true, that's the damnedest thing I've heard in over 50 years of being in this game and playing on a world championship team and also playing on some god-awful football teams. But if, in fact, that is true, that's pitiful. That's pathetic.
Well, and I have a hard time calling out Matt Forte because this guy's been a warrior, and in the offseason, nobody puts more into keeping his body intact so he can have a long career.
I love the guy.
Alshon has not earned that respect. He hasn't. He's had some phenomenal performances, huge games this year. But as far as being a warrior, getting himself on the field, that hasn't been him. It really hasn't.
Yeah, that was your point that you were trying to make, that ultimately a player could say, guys, I think I can go today, and I can give a little, and I think I'll be ready for Thursday night also.
And
what I heard is what he had mentioned is, well, we're going to hold him back for the following week against the Packers. My God, I'm dead serious, folks, when I say this. I've been involved again in this game, my God. And if that is true, and those guys could have been out there, whether being a decoy or whatever, my God, there's only 16 of these games.
Well, the other thing is, too, they could lose coming into today really one game and feel like they were going to the playoffs. And I know the expectations on this team was not that they were a playoff team, but come on, that's what's in front of you. You can't hold people back at this point. You don't have the luxury to do it. You buried yourself enough.
I'm sorry, I keep cutting you off. So finish what you're going to say.
No, I was done. I'm just saying, you don't. The luxury's gone. You have to win every week. You can only lose once. You can't count that you're always going to be on every single week. You can't play it like that.
Yeah, they got to reel off the next six games in a row. They have to win. Plain and simple. They have to finish. They have a shot at the playoffs. They have to win the next six in a row.
Glenn, they were trying to get back in it today at home. Again, at home. How many times? I cannot tell you how many years. It's an important game, whether it's a league or a playoff game, and we're at home. We've got everything going for us, and somebody comes in and blows us up. I don't get it.
Well, and you listen, and the other part of it, I get, again, that expectations for this team were very low coming off.
All hands on deck.
Right. Well, but, okay, they won five games last year. You have a coaching change. The fact of the matter is we've seen a good amount of football now, 10 games in. This team is good enough to be right in there. They are.
Right. Well, here's the whole point that I'm trying to make. Look,
take a look at here. Hold on one second, Glenn. Look at the whole league. What is it, two-thirds of it?
Correct.
Are 50-50 or worse? Something like that? Is that correct, Glenn?
Yeah, getting to 5-5 would have been monstrous. But in spite of all these other things, let's move aside Matt Forte, move aside Jeffrey. Here's reality. If your head coach had the sense, and that's his job, that is what he is paid to do. Because guess what? Adam Gase is going to want to score on every play, because that's how an offensive coordinator is supposed to think. A defensive coordinator is going to want to attack on every play. The head coach is paid the big dollars to use common sense and play in a formula. If the guy just exhibited common sense today and takes the 3 points, we're talking about a Bears victory, and they beat a team without their two stars. And that is what's offensive to me, that this guy, who was a head football coach for a long time, didn't have the stones to say, I blew it.
Well,
my bad.
He also made the assertion that he didn't think it was an 11-minute mark that we could get back down there again with Cutler.
This is what irritates me.
Oh, it's speechless. And you know what?
This is – you got to be
– you know, and this is – you know, this – you know, there's a million analogies you could use. The win in Green Bay next Thursday means nothing if we don't win today. I mean, think about it. It only you get to 5-5, man. It's all so much more doable. It, like you said, just think, all hands on deck. Oh well, let's make sure we wait and see what happens on Thursday.
We can run down the standings and the scores coming back here after the 5:30 news. And the reality is, they're still not out of it. I mean, there's an enormous amount of parity in the NFL, especially in the NFC. Trust is everything. It's golden for your insurance needs. It's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovic, jeffvuk.com, serving our area for 37 years. Nationwide is on your side. jeffvuk.com. Would have been a whole lot easier if they had won today, of course, but they're still
not out of it. I'm going to tell you something. I can think of a few people that advertise on this show.
Yeah.
That I know, if they were the head of the Bears, if that, in fact, that statement that we've been talking about here, kicking around a little bit, which I really don't want to get into, but the fact of the matter is, a little bit, I'll tell you what, he'd be gone.
312-981-7200. Quick check in news, your calls. We'll update you on everything in the NFL. And take a little look at the standings, because it is interesting. There's one game in particular that should be pointed out and how that impacts the Bears as well. 720 WGN.
We got to get some Chicago music in here.
You love Chicago.
You damn right I do. They've had a bazillion hits, and you know, I think I'm right. I still don't think. All right, they're up for the Hall of Fame. I don't know if the final voting in Cleveland, Ohio.
Right.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I love that group.
I know you do. 25-6-2-4, the whole deal.
Now.
Yeah.
Now. Chicago.
OB, you've been down today, so.
I had to pump you up, get you back. I know you love the group Chicago.
Oh, my God. Absolutely.
That's your guy.
Betcha.
Should be in the Hall of Fame. 25-6-2-4. Hey, it's 312-981-7200. OB loves the band Chicago. Well, that's your softer side, by the way.
They've got a manager, Pete Chiarelli, who, as a matter of fact, he went to Notre Dame, Golden Domer, big backer. But he's the only manager that Chicago's ever had in their history.
Didn't he run Demon Dogs?
I don't know.
I believe I got that on good information that he was behind the Demon Dog brand. Uh-huh. Which was an outstanding hot dog.
Pete's a great guy. He really is. And he's a great guy, and he promoted a great band, and I hope the heck that they get in the Hall of Fame. Way overdue.
Absolutely. All right, let's run down the NFL real fast here. Why don't we start with Lovey Dovey out of nowhere. His Buccaneers are 5-5, and I know it's not exactly the greatest to give out Lovey credit because Lord knows we don't miss him. But 45-17, they beat the Philadelphia Eagles today, and Jameis Winston setting a record for a rookie throwing 5 touchdown passes, 19-29 for 246 yards. Nobody thought the Bucs would be 500 right now, and they are.
So. No, well, look, they started a rookie quarterback, the first pick in the NFL draft, and he continues to get better and better each week, and so it's not shocking. And, you know, truthfully, that's how important, because we're going to play Tampa Bay later on. Isn't it a little different? Because Tampa's in the mix now. They're in the mix as a wild card in the playoffs. That's why losing today is so heartbreaking for the Chicago Bears, because they should be 5-5-2 and a chance to play Tampa Bay. Well, they do play Tampa Bay down the road here. Well,
and another heartbreaker, too, is, you know, you need teams to be falling at the top, and one of those is Atlanta. They've lost 3 in a row. And today they lost to the Colts 24-21, game-winning field goal. And this was, you know, Andrew Luck not playing. Matt Hasselbeck, 23-32, a couple of touchdowns. He had a couple of picks, too. Matt Ryan had 3 touchdown passes, but he threw a horrendous pick in the end zone, basically threw it right to a defensive lineman who walked in from 2 yards out. Atlanta has been on the slide. So that's a 6-4 football team that you could have been one game behind. The people are coming back to the pack here. Elsewhere, you've got Colin Kaepernick, who's out for the year, and the 49ers are going to lose to the Seahawks 23-10, so Seattle's going to get to 5-5. No, you've already lost to Seattle as well, so they have the tiebreaker on you.
That's what I was getting at. It was critical to win today, and the Bears had their opportunities and just didn't take care of points in the end.
It couldn't have fallen better for you. You're finally back at home. You got Denver coming in, minus Peyton Manning, didn't even make the trip. You got a 25, just turned 25 today, kid, that never started a professional game in his life. Coming in to Soldier Field, we're hot, we're ready to go, we're working on all cylinders, and we let them come in. We let them come in and take us down here, again, in our own ballpark. Partly due to them, and partly due to our own stupidity. That's shameful. You know, I keep going back. There's only 16 games, you know, and you got it. You can't put one more importance than another one. What time, better time, could you have Denver come in here with a kid that's never started a game, and for 60 minutes, you don't get in his face. You don't put the pressure on him.
And you allow them to run the ball on you, 170 yards. They're third from the bottom, running the ball.
Yeah.
It's just incomprehensible how we squandered this opportunity.
The basic things, Dan, that happened here, I mean, should have been covered. What, let that team run for 170 yards when they're 29th in the league?
But
let them come in with a quarterback who's never started. And we're on the upswing, and they come in here and take us down?
and I still contend, in spite of all of those facts, and you know, and we're spot on. But Dan, you said at the beginning of this show, and this is the truest statement made, was when we first started out, and Dan said John Fox is directly responsible for this loss today by making poor decisions as the head coach, not kicking field goals when he needed to, and not taking the points when they were available. And that's, and you named three games this year that he blundered
critical
those opportunities.
Time when we're going down there for that, to that touchdown, which we all talked about. And all these, and you practice this time and time again all week, and you get down there, and the play you send in is, well, Jay, either run it or pass it. Folks, that's, I can't find words for this, guys, except for it's stupid.
I'll tell you another point very early in the game where it was the red flag went up. It was third and 12. The Broncos had the ball on their own 10-yard line, and they run a nothing draw, basically saying, like, hey, we're just going to punt it back to you. We're deep in our own end. They end up picking, C.J. Anderson ends up picking up 13 yards. We mentioned, I'm like, they're handing you the football back, and Bears just didn't take it. That was a bad sign.
They blew up our defensive line all day today. I told you before, they just pushed them out of the way, position blocked them. Whatever they wanted to do to our front, they did.
But in spite of all that, Hamp, what happened ultimately? I mean, because look, he said that was the entire show was summed up when we came on the air. And Hamp, what'd you say? Just repeat what you say.
It was another loss laid at the feet of the head coach, John Fox, due to his mismanagement and bungling of the fourth quarter situational scoring opportunities. You kick the field goal. And then all this nonsense about going for two doesn't even matter.
Yeah, we're laughing, and we're talking about a team.
And even though our defense gave up an opening touchdown drive, which it looks like that's what that's the norm now, but then they tightened it down. Well, the first drive of the fourth quarter, Denver wanted to make a statement. They put a 10-play, 71-yard drive together that still would have only resulted in a field goal if we would have been able to get Kyle Fuller properly positioned and coached when they are third and 10 on the 10, third and goal, and you take away the inside.
Biggest
25-year-old, yeah, never started a game quarterback, has to make a really hard throw instead of
an easy
throw, right, that any high school coach can tell you his quarterback can make.
That was the mistake of the game.
3-1.
That was the mistake of the game.
312-981-7200. You know, last week, they first drive of the game, the Rams come right down the field and score. Same thing happens today. And it just ties into my overall question. Okay,
how good are they? Well, guess what? The last three games, they gave up one touchdown per game. Now, you can cut it any way you want, but that's winning football on defense. They were number 8. And here's the thing. McPhee played today. He's got a knee. He's not as effective as he was, say, week 3, 4, 5, 6, when he was really dominant. But you know what? You take McPhee off that defense, we don't have anybody that can start for anybody else in our division. Tell me anybody on our defense that would start for the Packers. Nobody.
Nobody.
Maybe our safety.
I don't think they could start for Detroit.
Amos probably could, you know.
Yeah, okay,
that's
a fifth-round rookie,
yeah, but
safety.
You're right, though. You're right. There's not many.
Hey, you know.
You're talking about up front, though, aren't you, Dan?
Hanford Dix is the guy that, you know, that Green Bay. I'm talking
across the
anybody
board
on the 11. That'll, take anybody you want. I'm just saying. Who do we have on our defense? See, I used to look at games like that. We'd go in, say we're playing the Giants, and I'd say, you know, Lawrence Taylor, you know, he may start for us. Nobody else could. I'm just saying, who do we have that could start for the Packers Thursday night on defense? Well, name somebody. Name somebody right now.
Nobody.
Well, I'm just saying.
Shea McClellan.
So that being said, I'd give anything if they trade
for
him.
Yeah, if we could pull that off, we'd all be
happy. All that being considered, we were still winners today if the coach does his job.
Right, but
if the head coach does his job, we win in spite of all these things.
But let's rewind it then, Hamp, because if you're saying, and I agree with you for the...
Have you heard me cussing out Vic or even Adam Gase? No, Adam Gase is trying to do what he's supposed to do. He wants to score 100 a game.
He wants to score as many points as he can.
Hey, we could be 0-16. If he's scoring 60 points a game, he's going to be a head coach.
Okay, so you're giving the credit for how the offense and the defense are playing despite the talent to the coordinators.
Coordinators!
Right.
Okay.
Kaz and I both have said this, and I know OB is wanting to be true blue and support Fox, but I'm saying, and your point is exactly right, he brought two very good coordinators here, and they have done a remarkable job. But you know what? The head coach, the guy who made that decision, has also lost three games due to his inability to make the right decision
just
in
manage.
The fourth quarter crunch time against Detroit, against Minnesota, and today against the Denver Broncos. And think, if we would have won two of the three, if we're just one of the three, would be 500. If we would have won all three, which were easily done, guess what?
We're
7-3 laughing about going up to Green Bay.
Then there's a word. That is a word called reality, guys.
Yeah, but the truth is, though,
4-6 going into Green Bay.
Yeah, but Ed, the whole point is, in spite of all these things that we've pointed out, it came down to the head coach just managing games in the fourth quarter.
I understand.
And it gives your team a chance to win. And isn't that what the head coach is hired to do?
That's what he does. When it comes down to kicking a field goal or a fake punt, a fake field goal, in critical situations like that, it always goes to the head coach. He makes the call, not the offensive coordinator or defense. He makes the call.
Hey, when the plane, you know, has a problem, do they say, it's the stewardess's fault, they came up a little short? No, it's the captain. He's the captain of the ship.
Let's take a quick time out. We'll get you ready for the Packers, who are leading the Vikings 19-13. The scores that I didn't give you today: Chiefs are on top of the Chargers 26-3. Kansas City's going to be 5-5. The Chargers are going to be 2-8. Elsewhere, the Lions got their third win in the year, only one game back of the Bears.
You got to be kidding me.
They beat the Raiders.
The Raiders.
18-13, who the Bears also beat. Elsewhere, it was the Texans who are 5-5, and Houston's god awful too, but they're 5-5. Just shows you how much parity there is in the NFL.
Houston
brings me right back to what Adam Hoge said. I mean, that blows me away, guys. You have no idea how that blows me away.
24-7.
He's holding back some people that we could have used for decoys or whatever, or somebody. If they were ready to go, they're ready to go, and we're going to wait till next week to play the Packers. That's sinful.
Houston's not good, man. They got Ryan Mallett.
Mallett has been cut, and you've got Yates is leading this team.
Right.
You're
being led by T.J. Yates.
They've always been really good on defense.
The difference with all those teams that are like in the middle or whatever that we're talking about, and we really took a big step backwards, is we have Jay Cutler playing the best football he's ever played. He's probably right now in the top maybe three, maybe four quarterbacks in the league. I truly believe that.
He's up there. He's had a great year. I don't know about
it. I mean, it scares me.
That we've got him. So in the back half of the season, we've got a shot to do something.
Ravens beat the Rams 16-13. So the Rams, who we once thought were powerful, now losing to a 3-7 Baltimore Ravens team, who lost Joe Flacco, by the way, tore his ACL out for the year. Cowboys 24, the Dolphins 14. Tony Romo thinks that they're going to make the playoffs. I got news for you.
When he's in the game, that's a different team, and you saw it today.
That division is just
wide open.
A dumpster fire.
Right.
Washington, the Giants, and nobody's.
I think Romo, if he can play the rest of the games, the Cowboys are going to win it.
Philly got beat today at home by Tampa.
Right. Couple of touchdowns, couple of picks for Romo. And the Panthers are 10-0. Chico getting it done. Ron Rivera, 44-16 as they beat the Redskins.
Best team in the National Football League right now is them and the New England Patriots.
We said it a while back. Cam Newton is a MVP candidate, and today he was phenomenal. 5 touchdowns, 21-34, 246 yards.
Don't sleep on our boys out in Arizona. We'll see.
No question.
Cardinals are very, very much right there. All right, quick timeout. We'll get you ready for the Packers next. 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hampano B Show with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Wrapping it up here, 720 WGN. Brian Noonan coming up, and we should give you the next game preview, which is sponsored by Arlington Heights Ford, number one in what matters most. That, of course, is you. It's the Packers on Thursday night, Thanksgiving. Hope everybody has a great holiday. We will be with you from 6:30 to 7:30 for a little one-hour pregame show, and then right after the game until midnight. So when you are on your way back from Thanksgiving dinner, please put on the program, and we will be talking to you. Bears and Packers, Hamp, how do you go into Green Bay, who, by the way, they're beating the Packers beating the Vikings now by a couple of touchdowns. What's the key
sucking
to beating the Packers?
Sucking them right back to the rest of the pack by beating them, I might add.
It's about you-know-who. Double check has got to be handled. You know, we didn't blitz this guy today, so please don't blitz Aaron Rodgers. He's the one that'll eat your cake. Here's the one thing. We've got to stop the run and have a chance. We didn't stop the run today, and it basically set up their offense to be able to flourish down the stretch in the fourth quarter and make that scoring drive.
Early in the season, they were right there. Right? I mean, they were, and they're better now. So
they're a flawed team. If Aaron Rodgers plays brilliant, they win and make it look easy. If he struggles, if you get pressure on him with the 3 or 4 man line, not 5, 6, 7, but if you make him struggle, they're a flawed, beatable team.
Talk
but
about
we'll probably Fox will probably blow this one too.
Talk about flawed.
Yeah.
You know, again,
and then
you know,
and then say, I don't understand your question. I'm sorry, Ed. Go on.
No. I just Lincoln, this game today is the of all the games, the 9 games played so far, this is the one that really hurts. I mean, really digs at me. Again, we're at home, and I know I've said this before, but we're at home, okay? And we've got Denver coming. They're injured big time. Their quarterback, all-world quarterback, is out. Doesn't make the trip. A rookie, 25-year-old kid, never started a game. A quarterback comes here. We're at home. We've got things going for us, and Fox lets this thing fold right in front of them. I can't believe that happened. We should have had this game, and easier than it was. We should have made it easier.
And we're 1-4 on the year at home, Ed. That's the stat that is really irritating.
That's my point.
Packers have lost 3 in a row. They're going to, well, we'll see. 14 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. It looks like they will be coming in on a win over the Vikings, 27-13. Guys, we will see you on Thanksgiving.
And also, don't forget again, this Tuesday the 24th at Gibson's upstairs, 5:30, 7:30. Doug Buffon's Monster of the Midway book. Please come. There'll be Dana Buffon. We'll all be there. Thank you.
I'll be out there at 4:30 to park Ed's car when he arrives.